Begin in 2 Timothy. I'd like to preach a message entitled Fathers Living by Grace. But if you're not a father, don't worry, it still applies to you as well. As I was praying about what to preach on Father's Day, the Lord kept bringing me back to the book of Titus. I did ask you to turn to 2 Timothy, so don't fear. I've been preaching a series working through Titus, and we'll go there in a moment. But I want to begin in 2 Timothy, please. Paul is concerned. God is inspiring, so God is also concerned that we live our lives as the believer that God would have us to be. And in Titus' case, Paul was writing to him and encouraging him to train pastors, to train men that would be fit to be in the ministry. And in Timothy's case, he was writing to him here in 2 Timothy, he was encouraging him to train individuals. And as our theme verse is, verse 2, but if you look in chapter 2, verse 1, we'll begin there, the verse preceding our theme verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. His desire for young Pastor Timothy, like in Titus's case, was that he needs to be strong in grace. Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because if he's not, he's not going to be suitable to train others. The same commit to faithful men. But if he's not strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he's got nothing to give those faithful men. They're already faithful men. Faithful perhaps to church, faithful perhaps to their Lord. But men, fathers, Christians, if you're not strong in grace, what have you to offer somebody else to, as you seek to invest your life in them? You've got nothing. We all should be seeking to pass on what we know of the Bible to others. And that's why this doesn't just apply to literal fathers. All of us should be seeking to grow as Christians, seeking to develop as a Christian and become more like our Savior. And as we do so, then impart that onto others that are coming along behind us. Investing in others. What's fatherhood? Investing in others. Committing to train and develop and to guide our children. That's what true fatherhood is. It's not being the man of the house and coming home and putting your feet up at the end of the day. That's not what a father should be. You should be focused on developing those in his family. But all of us as Christians should be seeking to have that kind of attitude towards other believers around us. And here, Timothy is encouraged that he needs to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Once you've got that strength, once you are becoming more and more like Christ, then You have something to impart and invest into another person's life. Fathers, more than ever before, we live in a day that we need the grace of God to be the Christian that we ought to be and to pass that on to others. But those of you that are not fathers, don't we all live in that day? We all live in a day that it's not easy to be a Christian. Always. And we need the grace of God working on our lives that we can encourage those around us to be the Christian that they likewise ought to be. So what is this grace? We'll look at that in a moment, but let's commit our time in God's Word in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your Word this morning, that you would enable me to bring your Word and encourage these believers this morning. Father, if there are any here that don't yet know Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour, Father, we pray that even this day they might understand your grace in providing salvation for all mankind, and that they likewise might call on Christ as their Saviour. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So what is this grace? If I'm going to need it to invest in others, to have something to offer to them, I need to understand what this grace is. So many people today in so-called churches would tell you the grace of God is that you can live however you want to live. Liberty. License to do whatever and however you like to live with no rules. But that's carnal. That's devilish kind of grace. The grace of God doesn't just let me live however I want. If you turn over towards the back, just a few pages, you'll find the book of Titus. If you go to chapter 2, please. We heard last week, while you're turning there, we heard last week in Romans chapter 6 that Paul says, what? Shall I sin more? Shall I do more sin so that God's grace would be even more towards me? And our response should be like Paul's. God forbid. God forbid. Yes, it was the grace of God that despite my sin, He chose to save me anyway. That is true. It was the grace of God that I didn't need to clean up my life. I didn't need to get rid of things in my life and become acceptable to Him before He could save me. That is God's grace. But that's very different to saying, now that I am saved, I can continue to live in the sin that I had before. That's not liberty. That's remaining in bondage to sin. That's remaining chained up, as we spoke about previously. I believe that was last week as well. We're staying bound to our sin. No, we need to have the grace of God working in our life, but it's not liberty and license to sin. Here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Fathers, that's the kind of living we should be living. Christian, that's the kind of grace that you need to have on your life so that you have something to offer another believer as you seek to invest in their life. The things that you've heard from many witnesses, that you should be able to commit to other faithful men. But if you don't have this kind of grace living in your life, you've got nothing to offer them. You've just got fleshly, carnal living. And anyone's an expert in that. Just do what you want. Live how you want. Go on. We can all do that. So firstly, we note here, God's grace brings salvation. You cannot have a happy Father's Day without salvation. Whether you're a father or not, if you are not saved, you cannot have a happy Father's Day. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. How can you even enjoy today? The author here almost mentions this as an aside. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, and he's going on to make another point. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is God's grace that he has provided salvation for all mankind by faith. He could have done it some other way. He could have said, no, faith is too easy. Faith in Christ and what I've done on the cross, that's too easy. He could have said, he could have made it more complicated. He could have made it a series of tests that you need to pass before you can be saved. He could have made it a certain payment needed to be made to some church somewhere. And if you can pay that amount, you can have salvation. It could have been that you had to live to some particular standard. And once you'd attain that level of spirituality or whatever, then you can have salvation. But no. See, all of that would cut out some of us. That wouldn't be available to everybody. Some people couldn't afford it if it was a payment. Some of us would never get that standard. I'd be the first one. It wouldn't be available to everybody. But salvation has been provided for everybody. And it's God's grace that he chose to provide it by faith. Because all of us could, if we wanted to, place our faith in Christ. And many of us have. It's God's grace that he didn't do it some other way. Bunch of religious rituals that we have to tick off. Or something. God's grace, that it's just faith. Simple, yeah. And I'm thankful for that. The other thing, as you note in here, verse 8 finishes with the phrase, it is the gift of God. All of those other silly ways I suggested would not be the gift of God. All of them would be you and I trying to do something to appease Almighty God and to achieve salvation. But it's not of works. It's not of things that we do. God's grace is not of me, it's of Him. Not of works, all of faith. Faith in what? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. It's God's grace that He's just provided salvation for all mankind simply and clearly through faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, there it is again, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or an acceptable means, whom God has set forth to be an acceptable sacrifice through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We are made just in God's sight by grace through the redemption of Christ's blood. Verse 24 again, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 25, through faith in His blood. Faith that Christ's blood does indeed wash away my sin. Amen. Faith that that is how God planned to do it. We are made just in God's sight only through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, just like any other redemption program, if, for example, there was a cereal company that wanted to give you some kind of a free gift, whether it's some collector card or some little character, and you have to get your scissors and you have to cut out the barcode, and then you send the barcode off, you put that in your envelope and send it off so that you can redeem that free piece of whatever it is. They're offering it free. So of course we want that, don't we? It's a free collector card. Must have it. Have to have that. Because everyone else has it. But I can only redeem it if I send the barcode. I can't just ring up and say, I heard you have a free collector card. I'd like to redeem that. No, you have to send them the barcode or however they want to do it. You need to, but then you might come along and you read the fine print and it said, oh, that, bother. That offer ended 2 months ago. So the barcode's useless. And then we have a little tantrum or whatever because we can't redeem what was free. Now that's a bad illustration because really you have to buy the box of cereal in the first place. So it wasn't really free. But the redemption that is available through Christ Jesus costs something as well. He had to go to the cross to provide redemption for you. And in doing that, He provided salvation for all mankind. Through faith, what does it say there, verse 25? Through faith in His blood.
through faith in his blood that was only available once he'd died on the cross. Just like any other redemption program, the free gift that's offered, the terms and conditions need to be followed. And in God's provision of salvation, yes, it is God's grace that salvation is provided for all mankind through faith. But that's the fine print. Not of works, not of you doing, not you being born into a Christian family, you as an individual placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what? Faith in his blood. Faith that it can do it. Do what? That it can remit your sins. That it can wash away your sins. The remission of sins, verse 25, sins that are past. It can clean up what you've done so far. It can clean up what you will do. It can clean up what you're doing now. Faith. How do you know that works? Well, faith. And God says that's how it is. Let's go back to Titus, please. Titus chapter 2. Grace for living. Well, firstly, God's grace brings salvation. Secondly, fathers, you're going to love this one. God's grace teaches us denial. Isn't that great? Isn't that encouraging? I have to deny myself for the grace of God. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Firstly, denial of ungodliness. It was bad enough that God knew that the only way he could redeem us was if his Son died on the cross. That's bad enough. Because ungodliness, things that are against God, in other words, things that are contrary to his way and contrary to his nature, put Christ on the cross. Not his own wickedness, your wickedness, my wickedness, our sin. And then, as Christians, we think we have liberty to go back and do those sins again? No. Teaching us, the grace of God teaches us, that we need to deny ungodliness. It was vile to God. God's grace towards you in saving you teaches you to press on and deny ungodliness in your life. But do you? Fathers, do you deny ungodliness in your life? Or do you allow liberty in this little area over here? Christian, are you denying ungodliness? Or are there pockets of your life where ungodliness is welcome? It's your little flurry, your little, just a little pleasure in life, you know, just to make it a bit more interesting. No, it's ungodliness. Denial, denial of ungodliness. If it's ungodly, as the Lord would say, cease and desist. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Happy Father's Day, men. Preaching on denial. Deny yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of which salvation, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come, there it is again, that should come unto you, drop down to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is the denial of ungodliness. Fathers, we need a generation of men that will choose to be so godly that as they invest in others, their home firstly, but others as well. That we would take God and His Word seriously and apply it to our lives. But it's more than just you dads. Christians, child of God, we need to take God and His Word seriously and deny ourselves ungodliness. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, the things that we were saved from. The things in our past should not be in our present. Verse 10 talks about the grace of God again. Verse 13 and onward tells us that we need to gird up. We need to be self-disciplined to apply God's Word to our life. Oh, but this holiness stuff here at the end there, where you stop there, that holiness stuff, isn't that just self-righteousness? Isn't that just legalism? Just a bunch of rules and regulations? No. Holiness isn't a bunch of rules and regulations. Holiness is taking God's Word seriously and applying it to my life. Now, practically, sometimes we need guidelines for our own life. But those guidelines are not holiness. The impact they have or don't have on our hearts is or isn't holiness. That's where the holiness should be, in our inner being, not in our outward being. Though it doesn't hurt if it reflects there as well. Now this grace teaches me that I need to discipline myself. That I need to be not like I was. Not like the former lusts. Not like my past. This kind of grace, God's grace, teaches me denial. Denial of ungodliness. Denial of the things that were in my past. Like I had been, I lived at total liberty to do as I pleased. In my sin, I could do whatever I liked before salvation. Liberty to sin is bondage. But liberty as a believer not to sin. Do you hear me? Liberty as a believer not to sin. I have the freedom now, as a believer. Now I've placed my faith in the blood of Christ. I have the liberty that I didn't have before. I have the liberty to choose whether I'm going to sin or not. I didn't have that freedom before. That's the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Christian, you don't have to sin. You don't have to give in to that temptation. Oh, it's tempting. That's why it's a struggle. But you don't have to say yes to it. We should be not fashioned the old way. We should be the new way. Not conforming, but transforming. Former lusts. That word fashioning there leads us into our next passage. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. That's the same word, if you turn with me to Romans, please. Romans chapter 12. So the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and secondly, worldly lusts. Here in Romans chapter 12, talking about not fashioning ourselves, not conforming to our previous ways. We see that here in verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed, fashioning, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. How do I combat? How do I battle against the former lusts? Because lusts are things that we want to do in our fleshly man. How do I battle against these former lusts? This is how. I need to be renewed in the mind. I need to change my thinking. I need to be transformed. Transformed, how? By the renewing of the mind. Verse 3 here, for I say, again, here comes grace, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's why I can say that godly living is not self-righteousness. Because if you're self-righteous, you're proud. That's not grace. You've got an issue with your heart. Don't think yourself more highly than others. Live soberly. Think soberly. How do I combat the temptation of my flesh? How do I combat the temptations in my life? Renew your mind. Verse 2. Renew your mind. This, men, is how you can be a godly individual. This is how you can deny ungodliness. Denying ungodliness without being self-righteous. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Stop becoming like the world. Stop becoming like your former self. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow the Word of God to seep in. Allow the Word of God, as you read it, as you memorize it, there's a reason that we are supposed to be working on memory verses. As they get in here, then the Word of God can seep in. And I could be sitting on the bus. I could be walking down the street. You could be sitting at your desk at work. You could be shopping at Colesworth. And And the Word of God can still minister to you. The penny might suddenly drop. Oh, that's what that verse is talking about. I need to apply that to my life. Here, little revival. Just in the aisle 3 of Woolworths. Praise God. Why? Renewing our mind. As the Word of God seeps in, it can change us. And as it changes us, it becomes easier to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You say, I really struggle with that ungodliness stuff. Yeah, because maybe you're not working hard enough on renewing your mind. It becomes easier the more time you put into it. Renewing our mind. That's how you manage to live, back in our passage. Back in our passage. Renewing our mind, back in Titus chapter 2. Grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly. How do we do that? By renewing our mind. That's how you live soberly. That's how you live righteously. That's how you live godly. You renew the mind. Put the Word of God into your memory and allow it to seep down and change your heart. Men, Christian, you're not to live like this when you wait. You're not to wait till you get to heaven. I can't live soberly, righteously and godly. It's not possible in this day and age. No. The Bible says, don't wait till you get to heaven in this present world, which is opposed to godliness. But I am to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live differently in this present world. Not wait till I'm dead and I don't have a sin nature and I'm in heaven. Of course, it'll be easy to be a Christian in heaven, you'd imagine. Surrounded by ungodliness, plagued by worldly lusts, you can live soberly, righteously, and godly. Christian, are you struggling? Are you struggling spiritually? You need to take seriously this challenge. The grace of God teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And I dare say there is a correlation between the amount we're struggling as a child of God to deny ungodliness and the amount of effort we're putting into scripture memory and meditation. Thinking over the Word of God, applying it to my life, there is a correlation between your struggle. That was here, wasn't it? Your struggle and the amount of time you're putting into the Word of God seeping in. Whether you're a father or not, look at this verse. That's Christian parenthood, investing in others, committing to faithful men, and then them teaching others as well. So then you're a grandpa or grandma. Once your faithful man starts teaching someone else, you're a spiritual grandparent. All of us are parents. We should all be seeking to invest in the lives of others. But if you don't have the grace of God in your life, you've got nothing to offer them. I have to have the grace of God. I need to be faithful. I need to take responsibility for my spiritual condition. And start applying the Word of God to my life. Grace for living. Thank you, Pastor.